So about a month ago, I responded to an invitation of one of the parishioners, Peter, to go gliding with him. And it's a fascinating experience, particularly was for me the first time. I don't know if any of you have done that. Of course, you get towed up by an old crop duster, and then once you reach a certain altitude, then you release the cable that's connecting you to the plane in front, and you're just there. You're up there just winging it, as it were. It's a most incredible experience because you don't have the noise of the engine. You don't have all of that racket. You're just there, and the only noise is the sound of the wind as it passes you by. Now, Peter was giving me lots of directions and lots of indications about the kind of the methodology and the logistics of what it was that allowed a particular plane to stay in the air, why it didn't just suddenly plummet to the ground. And some of that he explained was the dynamics of the hot air and the cold air. Now, when we were at school, we learned what? That hot air rises. And he said, well, no, it's not actually that hot air rises. But hot air, of course, as it heats, strangely, begins to be less dense. And the denser, colder air above it will sink, pushing the hot air somewhere else, which tends to be up. And so one of the principles of gliding, or soaring, as he called it, was the ability to catch these thermals as they rise. But it's that sense, that insight, that it's really not sometimes the way that we've understood things, but there can be a new way of looking, a new way of experiencing something that allows science to provide a new foundation, a new sense of what we do when we celebrate, when we experience a certain thing. And so when, as a church, we celebrate this feast of Pentecost, it's important first to realize and understand what is at the heart of that experience, what it is that the early church first were doing. And that requires us, in a sense, to go back to the Jewish experience, to the Jewish encounter of what they celebrated as the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, the 7 weeks of weeks from the celebration of Passover. Passover was this experience of freedom, this experience of being delivered from the slavery of Egypt into the freedom as the people of God passed dry shod through the Sea of Reeds into the desert wilderness. 7 weeks later, the people of God arrived at Sinai. And it was there that the Lord addressed them. And you read it in Exodus chapter 19. The Lord addressed not just a single individual, not just a family, not just a group of people, but for the first time in human history, and perhaps the only time in human history, God addressed the whole people gathered there, the whole nation, made up not just of Hebrews, not just of people that would one day become the Jewish people, but people from a whole different arrangement of people. People who are a motley crew, people who had attached themselves to the Hebrews as they made their great escape from the slavery to freedom. And then at Sinai, as the Lord appears and addresses himself to this assembled crowd of people, he calls them out, he fashions them, he forms them, and he addresses them as a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people that have been set apart to sing the praises of God. So out of this experience of being given the Torah, of being formed and fashioned as a new people, a new creation, already there's this sense as the disciples and this, again, crowd of people from all these different nationalities and backgrounds, all these different ethnicities and languages, as they gathered in Jerusalem on that day to celebrate this feast of Shavuot, 50 days after the celebration of Passover. They gathered first to remember the giving of the law. They gathered first to remember that day when the Lord addressed them as a nation, when the Lord called them out and said that you have a purpose in the world. You have a purpose to be a royal priesthood. You have a purpose to be a chosen people. You have a purpose to be the very nation in the midst of the world who stands for me, who is able to symbolize and represent me in the world, to be that very sign. Afterwards, this festival became not just about the giving of the law, but it was the festival of the first fruits, the festival when, at the beginning of the summer harvest, the people would bring the very first of the crop. They would begin to bring those things that represented what would come in the great bounty to follow as the summer harvest was then gathered and brought to fulfillment. Both of these things can really color and express themselves in terms of what we as the church continue to celebrate as we gather at Pentecost. Because this festival is about those two things. It's about being called, not as individuals, but called as a people. Called to be the very bearers of God's mystery in the world. Called to be someone who is different because we're no longer alone, but we have been formed and fashioned into a community. Pentecost could never have happened if it had just been to a single individual. No matter how extraordinary St. Peter, for example, might have been, no matter how holy the Blessed Mother of God was, if Pentecost only happened to particular individuals, nothing would have changed because it was only as a community, only as a people gathered in prayer that Pentecost could ever have had its effect on the world. But it's also because Pentecost is about the harvest. Pentecost is not just about the community, but about the sense of all the rest of the world. It's that sense that the Lord has called them to be a people, but not just for themselves, not just a church for ourselves, not just for a church so that we can feel good about being holy, that we can feel good about gathering in a cold church on a sunny day to celebrate something of our life together. But it's about the sense that no, we're not just about us here. It's about the harvest. It's about all those outside who haven't yet experienced the wonder and richness of God's life. It's about our call to be the bearers of the harvest. It's about our call to be proclaimers of the good news of Jesus. It's about our recognition that when we gather around the table of the Lord, when the Lord offers His body broken for us, when He offers His blood poured out, when we receive these two precious gifts, when we're fed and nourished by the Lord, that we are changed. But it's about the recognition that we can never do that alone. We can never be truly people of God. We can never truly be saints of God. We can never truly be holy until we do it in community, until we recognize that we need every single person who's gathered here today to call us into holiness, to lead us to be the people that God has called us to be. Pentecost is always about the community. Pentecost is always about moving out of our own personal little world into that full experience of being the body of Christ, of experiencing what God has truly called us and shaped us to be. On this day, on this Pentecost day, we gather as a people in need of a new spirit, in need of the Spirit of God to break through our hard hearts, that continue to build up little walls around our lives that prevent other people from breaking into us and into our experience. Pentecost is about breaking in of the Spirit of God, allowing that Spirit to breathe new life into us, to truly fashion us and form us to be the people that God has called as His own.